You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome inside the Inside the War Room podcast presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Dante Colonelli, and I am unfortunately writing this podcast solo today, something that I definitely did not want to do, but Saray had something come up late. He had to work late, so send your prayers out to him. He has to work late. He doesn't get to sit here and talk football with me for the next 30 minutes. I'm sure he's pretty upset about it. But we are going to be covering the wide receiver class today. I'll keep it brief since it's just me. I don't want to sit here and just talk at you guys for a while. So we'll try and keep this in the 20 to 25 minute range, and I'll try and keep it as interesting as I possibly can. If you have not already, if you could just go real quick and leave us a five-star review wherever you're listening to this, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, I think we're on, anything that you're listening on this, it really helps the show. But before that, I want to talk about the wide receiver class a little bit. This class for me is pretty interesting. I watched it a couple of weeks ago. I dove in, watched most of the top names. I finished 15 reports. I'm the Big Ten scout over at Blue Chip Scouting, so a lot of those names were Big Ten guys. Now, thankfully, that is a good conference for receivers with a couple of top names that we'll talk about. But I want to talk about this class in totality a little bit. I think the NFL draft community at large and the fantasy community has been spoiled by the last two draft classes. You look at the 2019 draft, the top three receivers off the board, all very highly regarded players. Henry Ruggs went first, obviously, to Vegas. The Broncos took Jerry Jeudy, and then CeeDee Lamb fell to the Cowboys. But if you go back and you look at a lot of draft boards, whether that was dynasty boards, whether that was people like me who don't do dynasty, just doing the regular draft, all of those players were very highly regarded, you know, top 10, top 12, probably at worst top 15 for most people. Generally speaking, you always have your outliers, you know, your people arguing with absolutely nobody, trying to be different. But for the most part, those players were considered the top, you know, cream of the crop of that group, and also some of the best players in the class. Now you fast forward to 2020, you look at Jalen Waddle, you look at Devontae Smith, you look at Ja'Marr Chase. You kind of have your similar molds even, right? Chase is kind of, you know, the catch point, savvy, physical guy, kind of like CeeDee Lamb. You know, you have your two route runners, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, obviously kind of different players, but same type of mold there. And then you have your speed guys. You know, you have Jalen Waddle and you have Henry Ruggs. And Waddle, Smith, and Chase, like the three before them, were very much considered, by most people. You have your outliers. You know, a lot of people on some of the websites that I write for didn't like Ja'Marr Chase. I had a couple other people, you know, really raise a lot of concerns about Devontae Smith, even some about Jalen Waddle. So obviously, yeah, you have your outliers. But generally speaking, you look at draft boards, you look at dynasty boards, they were top 10 players, top 15 at worst. The 2021 class, the one that we're coming up on, and not only is the class, the previous classes, not only did they have those top guys, they also had really, really good depth. This class coming up, I think, actually is a little bit more compelling, despite the fact that I do think it's weaker at the top. Going through the summer, I don't have that same feeling. When I watched Jalen Waddle last summer, I was absolutely blown away by the skill set that he brought to the table. Felt the same way about Ja'Marr Chase, felt the same way about Devontae Smith. Now, obviously, Jalen Waddle was my wide receiver one. We argued about it on this show during draft season a couple of times, and I stood by that the entire process from summer to draft. Waddle was wide receiver one for me always, but I love both of those prospects. And I sat down, and I'm not going to lie, I did really like a lot of the receivers this year. I don't want to make it sound like it's not a great class, but I do think it's going to be interesting. Is I don't think we have a consensus top group of guys who are going to be top 15 players on everyone's board on the consensus of boards. I think we're going to have a lot of
variety. I think we're going to see people going different places, doing different things. There's a lot of preference here. And the other part about this is I don't think any of the prospects, while good, I did hand out a couple of first round grades, which, as you guys know, if you listen to the show, is rare for me. I don't do that a ton, but they are not like elite first round grades. Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith finishes top five players on my board last year. Jamar Chase finished inside of my top 10 or right outside of it, if I remember correctly. He was either 9 or 11. So he was right there. These players I don't think are going to be there for me. Now, while they're good, again, I did hand out some first round grades. I do think it's interesting to kind of talk about this class in totality, in that I think compared to the 2019 and 2020 group, I think we're in for a little bit of a down year. Not a lot, but this isn't going to be the year where teams are, you know, chomping at the bit. I think maybe even in the top 15 to take some of these receivers. Good, productive receivers are going to come out of this draft, and there's going to be a lot of value in rounds 2, 3, 4. I think this class has a lot of depth. I won't get into it a ton here because, again, I don't want to bore you guys since it's just me, but I do really think that this class has a lot more potential for debate, a lot more potential for guys to rise and fall. We saw Jamar Chase sit out last season, and he was, he was the Bengals pick right at the top of the first round there. He didn't even play last year. I think that this class is going to be, very, very different. We're going to see risers. We're going to see fallers. We're going to see, you know, guys have different preferences, teams, and kind of work that through. And again, I don't think we have those elite prospects. I don't know if we see a receiver go in the top five this year or in the top seven. I think maybe we have to wait like we did in 2019 with Henry Ruggs going number 12 overall, unless somebody really blows it out of the water. So my top five receivers, I want to start off by talking about John Mechie from Alabama, because he is my wide receiver 5. I did give him a second round grade. Now, he was very much, especially early in the season, kind of third fiddle in that Alabama offense, fourth if you want to count Najee Harris. But he was still an incredibly productive player for them and a big-time deep ball threat. And he was someone who benefited a ton from how good Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith were, because teams were constantly rolling their coverages and sending different people different ways. And Mechie had a lot of one-on-one opportunities on the outside, and he proved to be a potent, capable deep threat. And obviously we know right now that that is certainly what is at a premium in the league, is guys who can make explosive plays, generate explosive plays. And I think you get that with John Mechie. He has a very, very good vertical route running profile, stutter steps, double moves, head fakes. He eats up cushion. He attacks blind spots. He does a lot of those little, in the intricacies of playing wide receiver things down the field, a very technically sound player. You did see a lot of that with Devontae Smith as well. And Mechie proved that he's a good ball tracker as well. He takes good angles to the ball. He runs under the ball, and he can do those things and make catches through contact. He can go up and high point and do some of those things despite not being the biggest guy in the world. So why is John Mechie wide receiver 5 as opposed to being higher, like we saw Smith and Waddle last year, my top two guys? And then the year before that, Judy was my top receiver from Alabama. Here's the thing, and I think this is the simplest way to say it, and I don't think John Mechie's a bad athlete by any extent of the imagination, but compared to those players, he just does not have the same juice that they had. Judy was very, very fast, but he was also very explosive, very sudden. Ruggs, Waddle, very fast. Smith, again, was also fast, but also very sudden and explosive. Mechie is fast enough. He is sudden and explosive enough, but I would say he's borderline average in those areas. I think you're getting an average athlete out of John Mechie, the Alabama wide receiver, to kind of the almost feels like the last one in the line that we'll see. Now, obviously it's Alabama, so I'm sure they'll produce, a bunch more guys this year. And I'll be sitting here talking about another Alabama receiver this time next year. But, for me, Mechie is just average in a lot of categories, and his one standout trait, vertical receiving, is great. But he doesn't have elite size and he doesn't have elite speed, and he's a very good vertical route runner, but running on the horizontal plane, in breaking routes, out breaking routes, he just doesn't have that dynamic cutting ability that we saw from some of the previous Alabama guys in front of him, and that is kind of why he is, I don't view him in the same way that I viewed those guys. I just think, to kind of use an inside the war room ism, if you will, I just think he's got less juice than those guys. We talk about juice a lot on this show with prospects. And it's just kind of the stand-in for dynamic ability, you know, for receivers. A lot of times for Saray and I, it's how quick and explosive are they getting out of their breaks? What does their footwork look like when they're running routes? And Mechie, for me, is fine. There's nothing inherently wrong with his ability in those areas. I just think that he's average, especially compared to some of the other guys that we're going to talk about. And speaking of guys with juice, my wide receiver 4, I don't know how off the beaten path this is. He's gotten some hype on draft Twitter. I'd argue not enough, but mine is Boston College wide receiver Zay Flowers. If you haven't heard the name, I would highly recommend going to YouTube right now, popping on some film, watching this kid. Just watch this kid's run routes. Watch Mechie, watch Flowers come out of a break. And you tell me which one has, you know, air quotes, juice. Flowers has the juice. This is an exciting change of direction player. He's very, very sudden. He can sink his hips, snap off routes. He creates easy separation. He's very fast vertically. He was a great deep threat in the Boston College offense, similar to what we saw from John Mechie. And I think you get more route running with Flowers. I think you get more juice. Now, the problem with Flowers, I think primarily, especially when comparing him to Mechie, is that in a player like Flowers, you have to realize that he is pretty small. He's smaller than Mechie. You know, he is small. Mechie's like a decent size. You know, Flowers listed at 5'11", 178. I don't know if Boston College is inflating that. I don't think he's 5'11". I think he's probably closer to like 5'10", maybe 170, 165-ish. He's a small kid, so you do have to worry about that. But as we're seeing in the NFL right now, the trend is going towards, you know, smaller, more explosive, more versatile receivers who can give you more explosives, you know, down the field and making those types of plays. You know, but some NFL front offices are going to be drawn back. He is small. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I think the other thing that you worry about with Flowers, or at least the other thing that I worry about with Flowers, is sometimes his hands are a little bit suspect. You know, he missed a couple of easy ones on the 3 games that I watched. You know, I don't think he's got bad ball skills. I don't think that he has a major drop problem. He's also just not the surest handed player at this point in time. You know, his ability to make body adjustments is a little bit questionable. But I think with Flowers, what you're seeing is a player who is in line with the direction of the league. Again, if you listen to the show a lot, you know, that's something that I value highly in my prospects, right? Is I'm trying to sit here as a scout and evaluate, okay, what is working right now in the league versus, you know, what we're seeing in college. And for me, I see a player in Flowers who is, you know, he can play outside. If another team isn't playing press, you can line him out up outside and give him that manufactured touch and let him create in the space that team is giving him, or you can get him from the spot and or from the slot, and he can be your speed threat from the slot. And that is something that we're seeing a lot in the league. It's why the Dolphins took Jaylen Waddle as highly as they did, and it's also why they paid Will Fuller a lot of money. Those players who can create those explosives from the slot are becoming very, very valuable, and I think you get that in Zay Flowers. Again, he's small. You know, he's not going to be the type of guy who is going to make contested catches or, you know, jump up in the air and make crazy acrobatic plays. That's just not him. But what he is going to give you is a player who consistently separates, which is at a premium, and I think the most valuable trait that a wide receiver could give you. He's a good route runner. His tree isn't overly expansive, but all the traits you could possibly ask for were there, and he's got another year to grow. He's got good speed, good quickness, good acceleration, all those things that you want. He's adding production now. He had a good year last year. You know, he's going to be a big part of the offense this year, I'm sure, as long as he's healthy. So I think Zay Flowers is a player that, you know, is flying a little bit under the radar right now that I think more people should pay attention to. Again, Boston College has a lot of prospects on the offense specifically. We talked about Phil Jurkovec during the quarterback show. And I think his top target, Zay Flowers, is very much a very high caliber NFL prospect. I gave him a mid-second, so I feel pretty good about that. Again, you know, he's in that slot speedster type role. And then my wide receiver 3 is, well, you know what, let's just spoil it here. My next 2 receivers are both from Ohio State, and they are very much at the top of a lot of people's lists right now. The first of which is my wide receiver 3. It's Chris Olave, again, from Ohio State. He went back to school last year. Now, he was kind of viewed as a fringe, you know, wide receiver 5, 6, 7 type guy. A lot of people really liked him. It was a deep class last year. He wasn't quite in that top tier, and he opted to go back to school and play out another season at Ohio State. And I think Chris Olave reminds me a lot of Devontae Smith as far as what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses. Olave is not the fastest guy, but he's fast enough. Olave is not the biggest guy, but he's capable of making big guy type catches, right? We saw Devontae Smith go up in the air and high point and make a lot of good plays above the rim. You see that stuff on Chris Olave's film. You know, again, is it robust? You know, is he going out there with his long arms and, you know, snatching the ball? No, but he can jump up and make plays. You know, he's strong at the point of attack. Chris Olave is just like Devontae Smith was, despite, you know, kind of a slight frame. But what you get, the benefit of what you get all that is, again, a lot of what I talked about with Zay Flowers, but Chris Olave is an incredibly, incredibly impressive route runner. And not just because of his natural tools, right? With Flowers, it's a lot of natural tools. You know, it's not necessarily, oh, like he's, you know, some technician or different things like that. And not to say that Flowers isn't technical, but when you watch Olave, you watch a player, okay, you know, this kid feels like an NFL or the way that he runs routes. He's just so, so savvy about the way that he does things, the ways that he gets in and out of breaks, the little nuances of setting up, you know, corners, understanding, you know, okay, I've got outside leverage here, so I'm going to break this way to kind of turn this guy around and do different things like that. That's the type of stuff that you want to see from college receivers. And you see that from Chris Olave. This is a very, very developed, polished route runner and separator. He can beat press. He can beat off man. He knows what to do and sit his routes in zone. He's very versatile. He can beat you, you know, on manufactured touches, despite only being an average athlete. He can beat you down the field as a deep ball threat. He's got enough speed. He's a good ball tracker and he's a good route runner. So he can beat you at all three levels of the field. He can beat press. He can beat zone. He can beat off man. You know, he can beat the coverages that you want to see a college wide receiver beat. Again, the concern with Olave for me and why I ranked him below his teammate of Garrett Wilson is just because he's just kind of average in some of the athletic areas. This is a player who I don't think is blazing speed. Again, I don't think he's slow, but when you're putting him up in a receiver class like this one, where there's a lot of guys who are good, but you're lacking that elite, you know, elite top guys that we've seen the past couple of years, you've got a lot of guys stacked very closely together. So when you have that, you know, you have to get nitpicky. So nitpicking Olave a little bit, I just think that he's kind of an average athlete in some areas. He's very quick. He's very sudden. He's very smooth. He's a smooth player, but he's just not like very explosive. He doesn't accelerate. He doesn't wow you in those areas. And again, that's not a big deal. But when you're talking about players that are ranked this closely, when you're talking about players who are all very good, you kind of have to get nitpicky and it kind of comes down to your preferences. And for me, Chris Olave just loses out in that category to his teammate Garrett Wilson. Again, Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, my wide receiver two, my wide receiver one in the Big Ten, and the first wide receiver that I gave a round one grade to. So Olave, very high second, Wilson, a very low first. They're stacked very closely on my board. And Wilson is the type of player, I'm just going to be honest, and I know that I've used the past two wide receiver classes to kind of try and help you guys frame in the mind of what these, you know, frame in your mind what these players are kind of like, with players that you're familiar with. But, you know, I mean this literally, Garrett Wilson reminds me a ton of Jerry Jeudy in the way that they move, in the way that they win, in the way that their body types are. I haven't seen a player quite run routes. Kadarius Toney was close, but I haven't seen a player run routes this, you know, explosively in the way that he's able to plant his foot in one direction and just, you know, his whole body is just moving the other way and then snap, he's coming right back across your face on an in-breaking route and he's wide open. He just broke your ankles and you're the cornerback. I mean, it just, he has that ability that we saw from Jerry Jeudy in the short to quick intermediate areas. He is so, so shifty. He can stop on a dime. His ability to just plant and cut and plant and break and keep his explosion through that, sink his hips and separate from those corners. For me, with Garrett Wilson, he's just he's an elite route runner and he's an elite natural separator. And those are the two things that I value the most. Wilson, again, a three-level threat. And I think that he's just got a little bit more juice than Chris Olave in those areas. Now, the one thing that I will say for Garrett Wilson is, again, these are a lot of the knocks that you heard about Jerry Jeudy. You know, they list Garrett Wilson at 6'1", 188. I don't think he's 6 foot and I don't think he's 188. It's typically a good thing to assume that teams are inflating numbers anyway. I don't think he's overly small. Again, none of these guys are as small or as thin as Devontae Smith was last year. At least I don't think. But Wilson does kind of have that slight frame, right, where you worry about his ability to handle physicality, and he is a primary slot guy. He certainly has the footwork to beat press coverage, and he did beat press a couple of times, but he primarily operates from the slot in the Ohio State offense. People are going to worry about that. Oh, he's just a slot guy and blah, 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 blah. Look, slot receivers are very, very, very important right now and very much at a premium with the way the NFL is going. So I don't really hold that as a knock against Wilson, but you will hear that from other people. You will hear that from people plugged into the NFL relaying information back to you as well. He's got that slight frame. Is he going to be a big contested catch guy? Is he going to take on contact? No, but I do think he's capable of making body adjustments. I do think he's a very good ball tracker. So you can use him in those situations. Maybe you put it on the back shoulder instead of letting him jump up to get it, stuff like that. But, for me, Wilson is an elite separator, elite route runner. He has very, very good hands. And he's a smart player. He can create for himself with yak. He's not the fastest guy in a straight line. I think that's what makes Jerry Jeudy a little bit better than him as a prospect, right? Like Jerry Jeudy was packing, whatever it was, like 4.3 speed or whatever the heck he ran at the combine. He was fast. I don't think Wilson is quite that fast. He's fast enough, kind of like Chris Olave, but he's not quite that fast. And that's what makes him just a little bit worse than Jerry Jeudy. But again, very similar players in the way that they win and even in the ways that they move, man. Like I was getting like flashbacks just watching them, just watching Garrett Wilson move. It's just like, wow, like this felt like watching Jerry Jeudy. And I don't really like player comps. I do think Jeudy was a better prospect by a decent margin, but Wilson is that same type of player and a very, very good prospect in his own right. All right, so moving off the Big Ten, moving off Ohio State, my wide receiver one in this class is Treylon Burks from the University of Arkansas. Now, Treylon Burks caught my eye in, I believe, December or November of last year. If you don't follow me on Twitter, you might know or you might not know that I ironically like to root for Arkansas in the SEC because they're not very good. And I think it's funny when they win because everyone's like, oh, the SEC is all these good schools. And then, some of them lose to Arkansas and it's funny. So I ironically root for Arkansas a lot. And I ended up watching significantly more Arkansas football than I expected. But every single week I came away impressed with number 16, their wide receiver, Treylon Burks, who, if you don't know, is listed at 6'3", 225. And I believe that one. This is a big human being, 6'3", 225. And let me tell you, folks, this man should not be able to move as well as he does for 6'3", 225. He's quick. He's explosive. He's fast. He's shifty. He is an incredibly, incredibly impressive athlete. You go pound for pound athletes in this class. You talk about some of the top guys. I think Treylon Burks needs to be right at the top of that conversation, man, because he is unbelievably impressive for how big he is, how fast he is in a straight line, but also laterally. He's not just some, big lug running in a straight line. He can cut, he can make guys miss, he can run routes, he can snap off a good in route and come back for the ball and stuff like that on comebacks and really, stop and sink his hips and come back and do those things that you like to see in routes for elite wide receiver prospects at 6'3", 225. And again, that's what separates him, at least for me. He's not quite the technician of Olave. He's not quite as explosive as Garrett Wilson, but he's close. He's technically sound. He's very explosive. And then you add in the fact that he's 6'3", 225. And what's really interesting about his usage in the Arkansas offense is that they use him like a big slot a lot. He doesn't actually take as many reps outside as you think. He lines up as a big slot. He takes advantage of mismatches. And even teams, when they moved their corners in to cover him, right? I believe Georgia moved Tyshon Campbell in to cover him, who the Jaguars took with the 33rd pick in the draft this year. And Burks burned him on an out route and scored. Right. So like teams would move their corners around to follow this guy and he'd still burn them. So it's not like he's just cashing in on advantages from being in the slot. This is an elite athlete with really, really good size, tremendous body control. He has got some absolutely bonkers catches on film. You go watch, I believe it was Ole Miss. He makes a ridiculous one-handed catch in the end zone. A couple really nice plays against Georgia going to the ground. Made some nice plays against Missouri over the middle of the field, if I remember correctly. And they had some NFL guys in that secondary, right? So this is a player who really is the complete package. I think what you're missing with Burks probably is, again, can he beat press? I'm not really sure. And again, that's a big thing, right? Because NFL receivers are going to get pressed. Press is the name of the game for NFL defenses. NFL defenses are going to try and bully receivers as much as possible, whether they're rookies or seven-year vets. Burks playing a lot in the slot does not see a lot of press, so I'm a little bit hesitant to say that he can't do it, but I haven't seen him do it so far. And then the other thing you have to worry about, too, with that Arkansas offense, while it was creative and it was able to give Burks manufactured touches, who, by the way, took reps at running back and honestly might have been the best running back on the team, if we're being completely frank. And he looked really good doing that. You know, you have to worry about his route tree, different things like that, right? Like, he's a good route runner, but how many routes does he run? Not a ton. The Arkansas offense is very, you know, slant, you know, nine route heavy. It's very, very simple. Not a lot of nuance required, right? You don't see him running, you know, whips and different things like that, or, you know, really, really attacking, you know, a full route tree. And again, that was maybe a product of the Arkansas offense. Maybe it was a product of having Felipe Franks at quarterback and KJ Jefferson at quarterback. I don't know, but those are the two things. Again, you're nitpicking here. I gave Treylon Burks a first round grade. I think he's incredibly, incredibly impressive. I think he's wide receiver one in this class right now. I wouldn't put it in Sharpie. Just like I said at the top, I think that we're going to get a very, very good season from a lot of these guys, and they're going to get an opportunity to raise their stock. So those are my top five receivers. I'll throw out a couple of bloopers and then we'll get you out of here. I think some sleepers, or I guess some guys that I didn't talk about that I think are very good. My wide receiver six, Drake London, from USC. He's big, he's mobile. The USC offense is like watching paint dry. His film can get a little, you know, like your eyes glaze over a little bit just because he runs so many simple routes. You wonder about the route tree, but size, athleticism, he's very good. David Bell from Purdue, he's a catch point guy. He can go up, attack the ball above the rim. He's very, very impressive as well. George Pickens tore his ACL. I'm not sure he's going to play this year, but he's another catch point guy. Same with Ty Fry Fogle from Indiana. The sleeper that I want to throw out at you guys is actually Reggie Roberson from Southern Methodist. I believe he was my sleeper on this same show last year. He went back to school. He suffered an injury, decided to go back to SMU. Very, very impressive. Deep threat, good vertical route runner. If you want to watch his film, I recommend the 2019 game against TCU because you get to see him go up against Jeff Gladney, who, let's just say, flamed out in the NFL, but he was a first round pick and he deserved that pick. You know, he's kind of flamed out more for character problems, but Roberson and him had a really, really good battle. You kind of got to see both guys win their reps. So that's a good one. I think Roberson has a lot of ability, so he would be a sleeper that I would name along with some of the other guys that I also glossed over. So, thank you for enduring this 25 minute episode of me talking about the wide receiver class. I promise I will not be by myself next week. Saray will be back, or we will have a guest. But again, thank you for listening to this episode of Inside the War Room presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. Again, if you have not already, please leave us a 5-star review on whatever you're listening to this on, and we will be back next week. Again, someone will definitely be here. I promise you will not have to listen to me talk by myself for 25 minutes, but we're going to cover the tight end class. It's a really fun class. It's much, much deeper, much, you know, there's way better prospects. We're not just going to sit here like we did last summer and talk about one guy with Kyle Pitts. And we're not just going to, you know, blah about the class like we did in 2019 when Cole Kmet was TE1 for everybody. So it'll be a fun show. Tune back in next Tuesday and I will see you guys then. Peace.